just 48 hours ago, were in Kenya making an announcement with Hugh Evans and Ajay Banga of the World Bank. Tell us about the announcement and what happens now.
Okay, so this is really important, and I'm going to go and give a little bit of context before that to make it all make sense. So for those of you who don't know Bridgewater, Bridgewater is an asset manager that for decades has had the goal of dedicating our time to understand how the world works. And we take that understanding, and then we translate that into advice for our clients and to manage portfolios. You know us. It's also true that over the years, we've also used that understanding and reflected back to policymakers, hey, this is what we think about the world, and this is how your decisions might impact what happens in the future. And when doing that, there's short-term things that we all think about. Powell's, we talked about Powell earlier today, is the Fed gonna tighten or not? But there's also very, very long-term phenomena that are very, very important to people that are trying to understand economies and markets. And we think that some of the most important long-term phenomena in the world are happening in Africa. So because of that, 2 days ago in Nairobi and earlier today here, Ajay Banga and the World Bank, Global Citizen and Bridgewater announced an economic summit that's gonna happen in Cote d'Ivoire in October. And the goal of that economic summit is to bring heads of state, policymakers, great economists and investors to come together and discuss this outlook of what is the world gonna look like in 50 years and what are we gonna do about it? And a big part of that is the World Bank effort for the replenishment of IDA. IDA, the International Development Association, remember it? That is the way the World Bank lends money with low interest rates or grants to the poorest economies in the world in order to help them develop. I'm gonna say one last thing about this, just so people get it. We say at Bridgewater that if you understand something, you kind of see how things happen over and over again. We call it another one of those. This is another one of those. We've had demographic changes in the world before. We've had areas that needed productivity booms. Think about China, think about India. The World Bank has also been in this movie before. We have countries like South Korea that in the 60s were beneficiaries of IDA. South Korea graduated from IDA in the 90s, and now it's one of the most booming economies, and it's contributing back to IDA. So we want to make sure we learn the lessons of history, and we help policymakers make good decisions. And for that, this economic summit in October is really important.
And talk to me about why now and why a hedge fund like Bridgewater is doing this partnership. Now, part of what you're providing is research and information, which is a really important piece, especially right now at a time when information and good information is sometimes difficult to come by.
Super important point. I mean, this is why I'm very excited about the partnership with Global Citizen, because we live in maybe the most prosperous time, not maybe, the most prosperous time of humanity. And at the same time, there's this extreme polarization. We talked about that earlier. There is extreme inequality. And there's a generational shift, or a generation growing into that, exposed to a wild amount of information where they can't sort signal from noise. So when you think about the partnership between Global Citizens and Bridgewater, Global Citizen really cracked something about how to take and harness the power of a generation and apply it to have impact on things that matter to them. There's a lot of Global Citizens here. Over a decade of activity of over 12 million Global Citizen members, mobilizing tens of billions of dollars of resources to where it's needed. And then when you couple that with Bridgewater, which is an organization that is solely focused on understanding what's actually true, how do things actually work, what is the signal in the noise, then you get the pair of here's the understanding and here's the advocacy that could take that understanding and change the world. One last thing on that also. So I've been thinking a lot over the last couple of years on kind of how it used to be that the public sector was where people came together to kind of tackle humanity's biggest problems. And actually the private sector was very self-absorbed and siloed. And I think we all know that ship has sailed. The public sector is dysfunctional in a lot of ways. And today in private companies like Bridgewater, you see a very wide range of people and opinions coming together to tackle shared goals. So in that sense, I think that's the way for this generation to tackle things that they care about. And I think Hugh Evans from Global Citizen, I and other people are just representatives of that with our teams.
I looked through some of the research that you all have put out already that is pertinent to all of this, and it's really interesting, but it also makes very clear how things in Africa can go in different directions, right? How you could have more growth there, potentially more productivity, or not. As you all, as your team was doing this research, what sort of stood out to you?
So, great, super important. This is a part of helping people understand what's going on, and I'll play the Bridgewater role, which is not my opinions, just the facts and the truths. So get ready for some numbers.
I like numbers.
Me too. So today, an eighth of the world's working age population lives in sub-Saharan Africa. And that number is growing because of a population boom by 30% each decade, and that's happening when, in most of the rest of the world, there's a population decline. So play that out. That means that in the future, three-quarters of the growth in working age population is going to come from the continent, and it means that in my lifetime, a third of the world's working age population is going to be in Africa. Let's just process that for a second and imagine what that world looks like. And now imagine two possibilities. One possibility is, okay, a third of the world's working age population is in Africa. And in line with that, there was what we call a productivity boom, meaning it's not just more working hands, it's more skilled labor, more educated, that can produce more. That can lead to massive growth boom. Really amazing for the continent, amazing for the world. We've seen this in other places. Think about the miracle of productivity in China or India. Amazing. Now think about the other scenario of a third of the world's working age populations in Africa and nothing happens. That's the course we're on right now, meaning no productivity boom. So now you have this massive population that has basically been left behind. Global inequality is a lot more dramatic than it is now. By the way, that's happening where climate change is going to hit the most. I just came back from Nairobi. There is a natural disaster right now in Kenya. There were disastrous natural disasters in Malawi recently. Think about the frustration of a generation and what that looks like and how that could completely destabilize the world. So that's a choice. Just to make that, again, tangible, where I'm saying productivity, because it's kind of a conceptual concept. In sub-Saharan Africa, half of the population don't have access to electricity. Half. In some countries, it's 75% of the population don't have access to electricity. 75%. This is the rest of the world, it's 90% that have access to electricity. When we say electricity, a lot of us kind of think internet, access to information. We're talking light bulbs. We're talking light bulbs. So imagine a third of the working age population living in those terms. What does that look like? Every other conversation out of Global Citizen Now in New York today is talking about machine learning and AI and ML and how a shrinking population on this side of the world is probably facing a once-in-a-generation productivity boom. In Nairobi, where I just came back from the African Heads of State Summit, nobody mentioned AI, ML. They didn't mention computers. They mentioned electricity and railroads. So it's going to matter. That thing is going to matter a lot, and being educated, making good decisions is going to determine what the world looks like in the next 50 years.
So what would your, based on the information, the numbers, and what you're saying, what then would be your call to action for the folks who are listening right now?
We need to make massive investments in infrastructure, healthcare, and education in the continent. A good start is doing that through IDA. And my call to action to all of you is get informed. Get informed, get off the couch, take action, put pressure on policymakers to make good decisions on these topics, because once the public sector leads the way, the private sector will follow. And we've seen that phenomena over and over again. So that QR code, by the way, scan it. It's going to lead you to be able to take action on the topics that I'm just describing.
So we just have about a minute left. I am curious, I mean, you sort of mentioned the role that the private sector is now playing, but talk to me for a moment, just personally, about you as a leader. Clearly, you're very passionate about this. Why is this important to you, as the head of the world's largest hedge fund, to be involved in this effort?
So I always say that leadership is kind of three components. It's getting a group of great people, coalescing them around shared values, and then putting impossible goals. I think that way about Bridgewater. It's the most incredible group of people. A lot of them are here, by the way. And this mission of trying to understand how the world works sounds unimaginable. I think about that way about all the global citizens that are here, trying to fight extreme poverty, climate change, can't be more ambitious. I think that way about the problems in Africa. And I know that people look at statements like that, and they roll their eyes. They're like, this is idealistic, it's utopian. But think about what I just described, and think about what's the alternative. A third of the world's working age population is going to be in Africa. 50% of them don't have electricity. You can sit on the couch, Theodore Roosevelt talk about the kind of the person in the arena. Leadership is getting as many people to be the person in the arena and to do incredible things. And I urge you to take action.